John.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You know, I bring you good news all the time, and tonight I have, of course, good news for you. We've been talking for 2 or 3 years now, and we keep talking about the idea that we do truly live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. Many people throughout the centuries have known this, and they've called it by many different names. You can call it the divine matrix, if you wish. But the whole idea of this is to get our thinking changed so that we realize that we are truly connected to this power, connected to this thing we call God, or connected to this thing that we call the universe. That we are part of the whole thing. We are not only part of the whole thing, we are the whole thing. That this power is always working in, as, and through us. That it's all around us, and that we are part of it. And we have learned in our education, through the Newtonian physics, that we are separated from things. That things are separate from each other. And this is not true. We are absolutely connected, and we are certainly connected to this thing that we call God. And we can use this to bring into our lives what we want, if we want the prosperity. We don't have to wait for the prosperity. We have to know that it's already there. And that when we're thinking prosperous thoughts, when we're changing our mind about ourselves, when we're changing our mind about what the world is telling you, we are actually changing this matrix. We are affecting this matrix. You see, if we want peace in the world, we have to start thinking peace and seeing peace so that it goes into the matrix and the matrix mirrors it back to us. So if you're looking for anything in your life, you have to look for it within yourself. And within your thinking or your consciousness. And when you change your consciousness about anything, that thing changes. So we're not only observers changing things, we're participators. We participate in the universe. We observe what's going on. And when we observe something that's going on, we immediately change it. But then we participate in it also. And then we can decide how we want the outcome to be. So that we're not living with chance or synchronicity of any type. That we are actually causing these things to happen. And we're causing these things to happen with our thinking. With our thinking. Or with our feelings. So the whole idea about prayer, the whole idea of approaching this thing that we call God, or this divine matrix, is learning the language to use to be able to access it. If we didn't know the language of a computer, we could not access that computer. Once we learned the language and learned how to use the computer, we can use the computer. Computers, I think, are done with numbers, zeros and ones, all computers. And that's the language that they do things in, and they can figure things out to do that. But this God thing that we talk about, this universe, this matrix we talk about, we have to figure out the language that it understands. We have to figure out the language. And that language is your feelings. That language is your emotions. So we have to watch how we're feeling. Remember, the whole idea is to learn to feel the feelings that you want to feel and learn to think the thoughts that you want to think. So we learn to change our thinking, and we learn to control our feelings or have the feelings that we want so that it's not being stimulated from someplace outside of us, because the only stimulation that there is inside. Everything starts on the inside. Everything starts with our thinking, our consciousness. The outside world has nothing to do with anything. When you look at the outside world, it's already done. The effect has already been there, and we are the ones who cause that effect. And the whole idea of the way the world is running and the way the world runs is in race mind. The world says this is the way it happens. So what we do is we learn to change our feelings about ourselves. We learn to change our feelings about ourselves. We learn to know that we're worthy, deserving, lovable, and that we matter. You did that in order to get your motorcycle. You're doing that in order to bring prosperity into your life. But we can't have these things until we have the feeling, because that's the language that this thing that we call God or the universe or the divine matrix, that's the language it talks in. That's the language that it talks in. So we're changing our consciousness. We're watching our feelings. Who else said that, to remember that? Remember in the mental equivalent? It's always warmth of feeling that brings the demonstration. It's the warmth of feelings. It's your emotions that bring that. So we change those things. And I think last week, for the people who weren't here, when I said you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, does anyone from last week remember what they are? What we call these? Well, I'll tell you. It's a mental equivalent. It's a mental equivalent. You have to know that about yourself. When you know those four items and they become a mental equivalent, then it has to show up in your life. It has to show up in your life. So that's what we're always working on, to see ourselves as bigger than we are, and to know that we're connected to this power, that we are this power, but we're not all that this power is, and that we live in this. Many people consider this divine matrix as a blanket that's over everything, and it has many layers, and we use our feelings to put things into this blanket. And when we do that, we make wrinkles in it. And those wrinkles become something. So if we're thinking all the time how poor we are, how sad we are, how depressed we are, how ill we are, that is what we're going to get back. So we always have to know that we're whole, complete, and perfect. And we have to know that we matter, that we're lovable, deserving, and worthy. And we get that as our basis of all our thinking, that's the core now that we use, that becomes our belief system. See, we're always going to be using our belief systems. Belief systems guide us to where we want to go. And the reason why most of us don't get to where we want to go is because we've never changed the belief system. Remember, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill came out, I think, in the 30s. It may have been the 20s, but it's been around. It sold millions and millions of copies. But very few people have been able to apply them to become rich. And he uses the thing, think and grow rich. Think of what? Think success. Think money. But think something good about yourself. Think something good about yourself. And the reason that book did not work is because it never addressed your belief system, your core belief, because he interviewed people that already had a wealth consciousness, that were already successful. So they took it for granted that everyone knew this, and people don't know it. That's why we go back and we want to get that. That's why other organizations, that's why churches and so forth. Not that I'm ever bad-mouthing them. Sounds like that, I know, sometimes, but I'm really not. Because they leave something out. They assume that the people that they're talking to know that they matter, know that they're worthy and deserving and lovable. But most of the people in churches go to churches because they're not feeling good about themselves. And they want a message there from this thing that they call God to tell them. And they want the minister to tell them. And usually the minister's not going to tell you that. He's going to tell you how awful you have behaved, how awful the world is, and this is just human nature, and you have to deal with all this. That is not what this class is about. This class is to teach you that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And also that you are one with God. That this thing that we call God actually exists as a power, as an intelligence, as an unseen force, not as a human being somewhere, and not as a God of wrath or a capricious God. The thing that we're talking about here is a power that always says yes to you, that is always saying yes to you, that always wants you to have what you want. And the only reason we don't get it is because we believe that we cannot have it, because we're convinced by the world, or we're convinced by race mind, that these things cannot be. And we have to get that out of our minds. So it's just learning to rethink things that we were taught, like the Newtonian physics. Newtonian physics works, but only up to a point. A Newtonian physics is always going to cause separation. This teaching teaches unity always, that we're always connected with each other, and we're connected with everything in the universe. We are fashioned from the same stuff as the stars. We are fashioned of the same stuff as the stars. These are the things that we want to daily think about, and not think about what the world is telling you. That you have the wrong shade of lipstick on, and that's why things aren't working. That if you really wore that dress, you would have gotten the job. That all that stuff is absolute nonsense. What gets you in life to where you want to go is what you are thinking about yourself. Is what you are thinking about yourself. Remember, it was Henry David Thoreau. A man becomes what he thinks about all day long. So whenever a thought comes into your mind that is not healing, prospering, get rid of it. Don't allow it in. When you realize thoughts that heal, bless, and prosper you to be into your consciousness, and you can have those thoughts, just look at them and say, "But I don't want that thought," and just get rid of that thought. And if 10 people tell you that you have to have that thought, you don't have to have that thought. The most amazing thing about life is that we can think anything we want to think. We can think anything that we want to think. So why don't we pick the thoughts that will heal, bless, and prosper us? Why would we want to think of thoughts that would do any harm to us whatsoever? So you just notice how your thinking is, and you just constantly change your thinking. You just change it till you come to that point in life where you know those things. We talk about the mental equivalent so many times. I was at the Bodhi tree yesterday, and I bought another one. I don't know how many of these I've had in my life, but the last one I gave away. And as I say, I always underline. This only has one underline in, because this morning, instead of reading it from front to cover like I usually do, I'm going to just randomly open the book and see what's there. So today, and I thought, well, I don't remember this. I don't remember this. And this is wonderful. The great enemy of prayer is a sense of tension. When you are tense, you are working from the outside inward. Tension in prayer is probably the greatest cause of failure to demonstrate. Remember that the mind works inefficiently when you are tense. When you think, I must demonstrate this, or I must get that in 3 days, you are tense. You are using your willpower, and you will do more harm than good. Remember this. The door of the soul opens inward. Now that's the one that I can't remember that in there. The soul of the door opens inward. It will, if you remember this, it will save you years of waiting for demonstrations. Write in your notebook, the one you carry in your pocket, not the notebook you keep locked in your desk. Or better still, write on a card and place it on your dresser. Now, I never remember reading this, as many years as I've read this book. Place it on your dresser. The door of the soul opens inward. Pray to God that you may remember that truth every time you turn to God in prayer. So now I'm going to do that. The door of the soul opens inward. And remember, put it on a card. What does that mean? That means you have to open to this. You can't push against something. You can't push against something. You have to just open to it. But all these years, see, now that's something new I found in it again. Every time I pick that up, I find something that I think, where did that come from? Wasn't there the last time I read this? And I underline these till they're completely all underlined, and then I get another one. But you see, I didn't see that before. So you have to keep doing these things till you see it, till you hear it, and till you absolutely believe it. Till you absolutely believe it. But if you want your life to change, and if you want anything in your life, anything that you're looking for, money, relationships, career, creative self-expression, health, any of those items that you want, starts in your consciousness and starts with your thinking. And you have to know, first of all, that it's absolutely possible, because we are not bound by laws of physics. We are not bound by laws of physics. We have more power than we know, and we're connected to that power. Do you think God, this thing that we call God, is bound by the laws of physics? I don't think so. Humans come up with all these little laws and so forth, and yes, all that stuff is out there working. Because there's many layers. There's many layers of truth going on. There's many layers. You can prove the Newtonian physics. You can prove the quantum physics. You can prove all this stuff. But you have to keep going up the scale till you get to what we call first cause, which is God. And then all this other stuff disappears. That's why when you're sick, yes, you go to a doctor and so forth. But you have to know that the doctor is not the supreme authority. That you are. You're always the supreme authority in your life. So you do that for yourself. And you do always in your mind. You remember, I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. You don't know the matter dance. Oh, you do? Oh, good. I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. Yay! I know, as I say every week, this is very silly and so forth, but it works, and it will sink in. And in those moments, when something happens, you'll remember this and go, oh, I matter, I matter. And I hear people say that all the time, that it pops into their head, and they do it. So, do it. There's nothing wrong with that. We have to do that for ourselves. Because very few times is somebody going to come up and tell you those every day. You have to learn to tell yourself these things. We're self-made. We have to make ourselves. You know, once we were created, we were given all the tools and all the gifts. Now we have to use those tools and unwrap those gifts and see what's there. And wonderful things are there. Wonderful things are there. What you see in the outside world, you can say, yes, that exists. But there's no necessity for it to exist. There's no necessity. When you feel poverty or see poverty or anything, all you have to do is say, not two things. Not two things. I only believe in wealth. I only believe in success. Not two things. I only believe in one thing. So when you see those things, just say, not two things, only one thing. And then your mind will start showing you one thing. But we've been taught to see two things. Because we always think we need contrast. We think we need contrast. How many people have you ever heard say, unless you know sadness, you don't know happiness? Why? I think that's sort of stupid, you know. But we do that because we think we have to have the one in order to have the other so that we can appreciate it more or something. I don't know. Frankly, I don't want any of that stuff. I only want to be happy and I want to remain being happy. So that's what I do. Now, a race mind alert. I was watching, of course, television, which is always my downfall. But I thought, well, this time I'll watch something educational that will enlighten me on something. And it was 60 Minutes. And 60 Minutes was doing a thing with a man, I can't remember his name, with computers. And he has been able to come up with a computer for children that runs without electricity and all. He gives it to all these undeveloped countries, whatever they call this. Some of them, they have no electricity in their house. The brightest thing he said in their house is the screen from the thing, and they're all learning to do it. And he's got the cost down to like $179, and he's trying to get the cost down to $100. And different governments in these developing countries are buying his technique. Very brilliant man, I think, from Princeton University or some one of the bigger universities and all. But then the little race mind comes right in because now one of the other computer companies is trying to steal his ideas, are trying to develop one of their own because they have the microchip, because they buy it from here and he doesn't buy it from them. They're trying to put him out of business. And he's standing there in front of a whole group of people at a seminar or something, telling them about competition and how people will put you out of business and how this will happen and that will happen. There's no such thing as competition. Don't allow yourself to ever think that you're competing against anything. There's no competition in the mind of God. Why is that? Because God does not compete against itself. God does not compete against itself. So instead, that man should be thankful that another thing, and that there's plenty to go around, and it won't, you know, he says he's not making any profit from it anyway. When you see that type of thing, that the world wants to teach you that there's always competition going on, that we have to get their share of the business, that we have to collect all this because if we don't get it, and they get it, now we won't have it. You see, that's not true. There's always enough to go around. In your song, did you say the sand, something about the sand on the beach? Well, there's enough sand on the beach for everyone, isn't there? And it's still there. There's enough money. There's enough wealth. There are enough people who want computers. There are enough for no competition. For no competition. In this community that we live in, when we talk about the movie industry out there, they always say, competition. I was at lunch with friends on Sunday. And they asked about an actor friend that I know, and I said, well, she isn't getting the jobs and so forth that she wants. And they said, oh, well, you know, there's so much competition. There's so much competition in the industry and in acting and so forth. And they're ready to just settle for that. But that's the answer. That is not the answer. That is not the answer. You're in the real estate business. Did you see the thing on television about the computer people now, the computer selling, and they're going to cut the commission, you know, from 6% down. They're able to do this, that, and the other thing. So on Thursday night, realtors in the group said, oh, they talked about that at their work and how much competition and how much this is going on, and they're going to lose this, they're going to lose that. Well, first of all, the first one's already out of business, and the next one will probably go. And it has nothing to do with the real estate business, with your business. You are an independent contractor. You are in a corporation of your own. You don't have to do any of that stuff. There is no competition. Don't set yourself up for competition. There is only creativity in the mind of God. Creativity. So know that you're creative and that your clients will come to you because of that. And then you get rid of that idea of competing. The world is in the mess it's in because we're always competing for something. They have the oil, we don't, so let's go bomb them and get the oil. Now we have the oil. Now they, you know, or they have this and we need that. There's enough to go around. There's always enough for everybody. We see starvation in the world, but it's not because this planet is not abundant in food. It's because of distribution. It's just a matter of distribution. There's always plenty for everybody. So don't let your mind get into the idea of competing for anything. For competing for anything. You know, that means a relationship. Anything. Don't compete. Just realize that you do not have to do that. And as soon as you realize that there's only creativity going on, no competition, things will come to you. Things will come to you. It works that way. It always works that way. How many people here are still with their money? Still doing the money affirmations? Still writing on your check?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I did that this morning.
And this, you're going, maybe? How's your money? Your money too. You see, we are a mirror. This universe just mirrors back to us what we're doing, what we're thinking. It's only showing you what your consciousness is, what your mind, how you're thinking. As soon as you realize, oh, I'm doing this, I don't want to think this, I want money to freely circulate in my life and I always wanted to find surplus, it will happen to you. It will happen to you. Every time that we gratefully pay our bills, that we gratefully give money, we get it right back. We get it right back. Because this universe responds to us. And if we're begrudging, it's begrudging. You see, we have to change our thinking about money. We have to realize that we can have money, that this universe wants us to have money because money is the way we get things on this plane of action. Money is freedom on this plane of action. And when you know that, then it keeps coming to you. It keeps coming to you. So do your affirmations. Otherwise, it will always be that. It's on and off, on and off. As I say, I've been doing this for at least 30 years, this little book, and I still have to keep doing it. And I still have to remember to do my affirmations. And when anything is off in my life, I sit down and remind myself that I'm causing this in some way. So I start to change my thinking about it. I start to change that. And then it all changes for me. But we want to manipulate things on the outside of life. We want to blame other things for what's going on. It's going to get you nowhere, and it's not going to change until your thinking changes. As soon as your thinking changes, everything changes. And I don't know why we're so hesitant to say, oh, I can change my thinking about that. I can change my thinking about that. I don't have to hang on to that. And then get what you want from life. Get what you want from life. But change your inner core beliefs about yourself. Change those core beliefs. They're used in two different ways, and they're the same thing. Core beliefs and guiding beliefs are exactly the same thing. A core belief will guide you, will always guide you. All beliefs guide you someplace. So pick a belief that is good for you. A belief where you want to go. And that's how you do it. You're the one that's deciding that. That's the greatest gift that we've been given, that we can decide. It doesn't have anything to do with the economy. It has nothing to do with other people. It has nothing to do with your job. It has to do with your thinking. Now, what could be easier? What could be easier? But we buy into the world who tells us, oh, no, it's the economy. It's this. It's that. It's gas prices. It's this going on. That's going on. No. None of that is doing anything. It's your thinking that's doing it all. It's your thinking. So think of this as always responding to you, whatever you're feeling, whatever you're saying, that the universe is going to respond back to you, that it's going to mirror that right back to you, that it's going to show you where you are in consciousness, and that it's never out to get you. It's only out to give you things. It's only out to give you things. It wants each and every one of us to have what we want. It wants each and every one of us to be happy and to be happy all the time and not to give up that. Bill here says he's happy because he just bought a motorcycle. But now the first thought that comes into his head, how long can I maintain this happiness? Is that not right?
Yeah.
How long can you...
I want to be sure I can keep it up.
The world tells you can't keep something up. You say it'll wear off. Keep it up. Be happy about it. Every time you get on that motorcycle, say, I'm happy about this. I'm delighted. And keep it going. Keep those feelings going. We generate the feelings. It has nothing to do with the motorcycle. I'm delighted that he's got the motorcycle. But he got the motorcycle because he was thinking good about himself. And he got the motorcycle because he knew the motorcycle would make him happier. But happiness and all those feelings come up from within inside of us. It has nothing to do with the motorcycle.
And the motorcycle is just a demonstration of the underlying feeling.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what I'm really digging.
And you have to have the feeling. So it's always that warmth of feeling. So when you're doing your work, your affirmations, your treatment work, whatever you want to do, have a feeling with it. Get to feel it. Get to feel what it is. There's a book called The Lost Mode of Prayer by Greg Braden. And in that, he describes the idea of the feeling and how the Essenes and ancient people always knew how to do that. He lives in Arizona. I'm going to say Arizona. No, sorry, New Mexico. He lives in New Mexico and he knows Indians out there, and he asked the Indians how they do the different things because it was a very dry summer and they wanted rain. And the Indian said, come with me. So they went into some field or something, and the Indian started to do his prayer. He just sat there. And he got up and said, well, that's done. And lo and behold, it started to rain. So Greg says, how did you do that? How did you do that? He said, well, I sat there and I could feel the rain on my body. And I could feel my feet going into the mud. And I could smell the rain. And it rained. Done with feelings. Done with feelings. Remember when you want a new car, I suggest you go to the dealership and sit in the car and smell it and touch it and feel it and get a feeling going. Get a feeling going. Then you can demonstrate. It's done with feeling. It's done with feeling. I think it was Shakespeare. I know it was Shakespeare. I just don't know what play, and I just paraphrase it about praying. And it was, if you're not into the feeling when you're praying, whatever you pray stays here. It never flies to heaven because you don't have the feeling behind it, that warmth of feeling, that emotion. Emotion means energy in motion. Emotion, you get it, the feeling. How would it feel to be a billionaire? How did it feel? You see, you get that going. And then that will start to take place for you. Make sense? With that, let's do a spiritual mind treatment. And this is what I know, believe, and accept for myself. I am absolutely one with the only power there is in the universe, and I know that that power responds to me. That power responds to me because that power loves me. It loves me because it created me. It loves me because I am one with that power. That power and I are one in the same thing. I know this. I know this in every fiber of my being. I know this at the core of myself. And I use it, and I use it right now to bring money, prosperity, and abundance into my life. I bring all those things to myself by opening myself, by knowing that I am worthy, deserving, lovable, and that I matter. And I let that be so, and so it is. Use the feeling. Feel things. When you're around beautiful things, how do you feel about them? When you paint and so forth, you get a feeling, don't you? Well, use that feeling. Paint your life then with that feeling instead of just a canvas, because that's all we're doing, is we're using this canvas or this thing that we call divine matrix. It's just a screen in front of us that we are doing. We're not only the artist, we're also the canvas. We're not only the canvas, we're the oils on the canvas. We're not only the oils, we're the paintbrush itself. We are everything. And we are always everything that we are looking for. What you are looking for, you are looking with. And what you are looking for is inside of you. Your $1 billion is inside of you. Start looking there. Now, what do I mean by that? You look inside of yourself and you say, ha-ha, I'm connected with the most intelligent mind in the universe. I am one with that mind. And that mind right here and right now is giving me a prosperous idea, an abundant idea that I can use to generate money. And it's inside of me now, and I have the answer. That's the way you do it. That's the way you do it. You want an acting job. You have to do the same thing. I am one. I am one with the mind of God. That mind knows exactly how to do it for me. and I move myself out of the way, and I allow that power to put me in my right place. That's how you do it. And you get the job. You do your affirmations. You go to the audition. You do the audition. Then you immediately release that and say, I've done the very best I know how to do. Now, God, it's up to you. There's nothing more that I can do about this. Now, then you imagine that this power is going right through the casting agent's mind. And all she sees is Andy. Have you done that one? Do that one. You can use that same thing with real estate. You just use it. I don't know what you're in.
Oh, acting.
Ah! Well, then, there it is. So use that. Know that. How many are you still sending your spirit ahead to make the way clear? Yes. So you make the way clear for you. All right. It's good to be an actor. You're an actor. No, you're not an actress.
You're an
actor. Oh, I'd hope so. And he's an actor. Anyway, we're all actors, you know. Tonight's topic is connection. And I hear that in this town all the time. And I certainly hear this from actors who are always saying, I don't have the connections. I don't have an agent. You don't need an agent. And the only connection that you need is a connection with this power. There is your connection in life. If you know that you have a power, if you know that you have a connection with this power that we call God, or this power that we call the universe, or whatever you want to call it, if you know that that is your connection, you stay with that connection. This mortal stuff that we see down here, the way this game is played down here, where everyone thinks, oh, I can't do it without an agent, and I don't know that person, so I don't have this connection, and da-da-da, and I don't have this circle of influence, and I don't have this going on, and I'm not good at schmoozing, and I'm not good at this, and yada, 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 whatever goes through your mind, means nothing. Means nothing if you're connected. And I look up, you know, that's just a habit. God is not up. God is everywhere. God is everywhere. But we have to know that. We have to be connected to that. And that is your connection. That is your connection. You want a loving, caring, sharing relationship in your life? Then you get a loving, caring, sharing relationship going on with this power. And the loving, sharing relationship will come in. We're always working on one relationship and one relationship only. And that's our ongoing oneness with God. Our ongoing oneness with God. We have to keep reminding ourselves that we are one with the power, that we are one with God, that we are one with the universe, and that there is only one. That there is only one. And that we all are living, moving, and having our being in that. Remember when I used to tell you that God is not in you, like a raisin in a cookie? You are in God, like a wave in the ocean. You are a wave in the ocean. We're all connected to this power. We're all connected to it. And we have to remember that. And not allow our minds to say, but I have a job and I have this and I have that. Yes, those things are necessary. And yes, those things mean things. But if you have a connection with God, then you don't have to worry about these jobs. You don't have to worry about the auditions. You don't have to worry about where the money's coming from. You don't have to worry about, what am I doing with my life? Am I wasting my life? Is this not going right? Is that not going right? All those thoughts that people have constantly. Work on your ongoing oneness with God. Work on that. And not in that horrible, pious way that I see people doing. Learn to have fun with this whole thing. Learn to have fun. Learn to like and love yourself and have fun. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You see, everyone immediately wants to get serious and all that. You'll get more in life if you're not so serious. You'll get more in life. Yeah, you will. I've proved that. Think of the connection with the power. Think of that connection. When you're not getting what you want, isn't it always because you have forgotten your connection? You've forgotten your connection. As soon as you realize that you're... When you realize that things aren't going right, do a visualization. Think of yourself as a cord attached to you. A big plug. And you go, oops, I don't have the connection. Now you take it and you go, oh, connect it again. And the power starts to come again. The power starts to come again. Electricity is always running through the light. But only when you turn it on does it do something. The power is always here with us. But most of us forget to turn it on. We just forget to turn it on. So just say to yourself, I'm flicking the switch. I'm plugging myself in. And it will change your life. And you'll get what you want. But don't allow people in the outside world to tell you that you need connections. Yes, they're nice and connections will come. But the first connection is always going to be the connection with this power in the universe. Once you realize that, all the other stuff falls into place. And that's what we're here for. I'm 100% positive of that. That we're here to realize that we can do these things. We're here to realize that we truly are one with God. Otherwise, there's no sense to any of this. There's no sense to any of it. So learn to be happy. Learn to see beauty. Learn to see the things that you want to see. And don't concentrate on the other things. The other things appear simply because we concentrate on them. And we put that wrinkle into this matrix. And it comes back to us. It comes back to us. If everyone on this planet knew that there was no such thing as competition, that it's an absolute, abundant, and prosperous universe, it would be that. It would be that. It has to respond to you. It has to respond to you. You can do it with your thinking. You can do it with your thinking. Does anyone remember one of the space rockets that went up? It was off course, and they thought surely they could never get it back onto course. And they asked people to pray. And people prayed, and it came back onto course. This thing that we live, move, and have our being in responds to us. It responds to us. And it certainly responds, in that case, to a big group. But you can do it yourself. You can do it yourself. How powerful is your consciousness? Keep telling yourself how powerful your consciousness is. Look at Gandhi. Did he not conquer a whole nation with his consciousness? He conquered a whole nation with his consciousness. You can do anything using your thinking, using your feelings. When thought and feelings coincide with each other, an immediate demonstration occurs. Immediate demonstration. You have a feeling. It's a wonderful feeling. And then your intellect starts to talk you out of it. Starts to, don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Learn to feel and use your feelings. And you'll demonstrate. You'll demonstrate. in your thinking. And we're always trying to change our thinking so that we think better of ourselves. And what is wrong with thinking better of yourself? You know, we can sit and trash ourselves all day long and say, well, that's all right. We start to think good about ourselves and good thoughts about ourselves, and our minds say, oh, maybe you shouldn't do that. You'll just get a little, what will people think about you? They'll just think you're too much. Let people think that you're too much. You know, let them think that. Learn to live in peace in your consciousness. Train your mind to say good things about you. It will. It has to listen to you. You're not your mind. Your mind is yours. You're not your body. Your body is yours. So use your consciousness to train your mind to talk to you the way you would like to be talked to. Wouldn't that be wonderful? It can be done. And you can wake up every day knowing that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And that's wonderful. So are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.